It's me, Harley D. Hello. You're listening to Afternoons with Harley D. This is my show. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, October 28th. Hello. How you doing? I'm great. I have coffee spilled all over me and I am not happy. I don't know what the heck happened this morning, but I seem to have instead of putting the coffee in my mouth, I seem to have put it all over my short and my pants. So this is a PSA from your DJ host, Harley D. Keep your coffee in your pot. Anyways, I was just a little, I'm just a little perturbed right now about that, but we're going to get on to some other things. So it was a wild, Hollywood weekend Halloween weekend in Hollywood. Jeez, I can't talk. Paris Hilton dressed up as, you know, the only person she could dress up as, the person she wants to be, Miley Cyrus. Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas dressed up as Elvira, and she looked really good. I liked it. I liked her costume. A lot of people dressed up for parties all over, and, you know, celebrities have to go all out because they go all out every day, and so they, you know, they got to go all out for Halloween, and they did. Lady Gaga, there's a picture of her wearing this, like, she dressed up as a ghost, which was super cool. She's so, like, she's just so good with everything that she does. I love her. Excuse me. All right, so we're going to start off with some good news in the celebrity press today. Prince William and his wife, Kate Middleton, the Duchess of York, baptized their child, Prince George, on Thursday last week. And it was a very small affair with only immediate family invited. The baby, Prince George, I think he's next in line to be the King of England, I'm pretty sure. He wore a baptismal gown that his father wore along with other generations before him. So it's kind of a tradition in the royal family to wear this huge long gown for a baby. Mind you, the baby's a boy, but in the Catholic religion, you always wear a gown and doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. But the baptism happened. And the royal family, they look great. All the women, except for like one of them, all wore white. They all looked really great. I love Kate Middleton. I think she's just, if I could be like any sort of class and like ladylikeness that she has, I would love that. She just always looks perfect and like looks friendly and it's just like, just looks like a nice person. But anyways. So love Kate Middleton. She baptized her little baby. That must have been great. This is the little fun fact I found out, that the Queen of England, she was so worried about the baptismal gown getting ruined because it's so old. It's at least 50 years old. She had an exact replica made just in case, you know, a little tear happens in the gown. So, you know, there's just, you know, if they lose that one, they have a backup. Kim Kardashian got engaged this week at the AT&T Park, coincidentally. She's not from San Francisco. She was in town because Kanye was had a concert in San Jose. I heard it was really good. I didn't get to go. I don't get to have any fun on the weekends because I get to bartend for people who are having fun. But someday I'll be able to get to go to concerts again. Kanye West rented out the whole stadium at AT&T Park. He had a string quartet. He had the whole nine yards. He had the family, the whole Kardashian family there. He had everything. And he proposed to her in front of the whole family. I mean, it's really exciting. That's really good for her. They have a child together who I've talked about, Northwest. Cute name, I guess. Her engagement ring, of course, is huge. It's probably better, or I don't know. It looks different than her last one, which was, we're in 2013. So 2 years ago, she was married again, I guess. That's, you know, that's Hollywood for you. I was wondering about whether they were going to have a TV or a wedding on TV, and I highly doubt it. Considering Kim's last marriage on TV fizzled in 72 days, and her sister's, Kit Chloe, isn't panning out too well either. So it's probably a little, you know, it's probably a good idea for them not to make money off of this wedding. Maybe go into it having just clear conscience and just trying to make a relationship work. God forbid, not making any money off of it. I don't know. That's a crazy thought, apparently, in the Kardashian family. But in other news with Kim, her ex-husband, who I kind of just mentioned about the ring, they finalized their divorce this year, but he isn't really out of her life. Again, he's back in it. He has his ex-girlfriend named Myla Sinanjan. I think I'm saying it right. Basically, this girl who dated Chris after Kim and Chris broke up, basically heard the whole, she saw and heard the whole divorce proceedings, saw everything. She was even subpoenaed to court by Kardashian, the whole Kardashian family, to talk about, I don't know what, she was subpoenaed to court for during the divorce trial. So, you know, they probably talked to her. They probably tried to bring up a case about against Chris saying that he cheated. I don't know. But he, this girl, she's writing a tell-all book about Kim and Chris and Kanye. Three Ks. The book hasn't even been written yet, and the girl is already saying it's going to be juicy. She's just going off about how great it's going to be. And what I thought was interesting is that coincidentally, 5 weeks ago, she just had a major plastic surgery makeover. And I think it's interesting that she's coming out. She had this surgery, you know, five weeks passed. And, you know, after 5 weeks of plastic surgery, you're generally less swollen and less bruised than you would have been like a week after. So it just seems very well planned out that she is deciding to put this book out there after, you know, she had this great makeover, probably spent thousands and thousands of dollars on it. And she's probably going to have to write the book so she can pay for all of that. I guarantee it. Because, you know, she's probably going to get a good check for this, because these are secrets that a lot of people would pay a lot of money for, and she's probably going to get a good payday off of it. In the book, she's going to include legal documents, subpoenas that she received from the legal battle, and also she's going to include the wedding invitation in her book for Chris and Kim. Apparently she was invited to the wedding, or she somehow got a hold of it. I don't know. She's just, I mean, I just think that, yeah, celebrities have their thing, and they're probably, they build this live and this persona up, and the public falls in love with them or doesn't fall in love with them because of that. And I think that when people release secrets about not only celebrities but just people, I think there's kind of a special place in hell for them. Like, if you don't need to be releasing anything about anybody, because chances are you've done something in your life that, you know, if you had it released, you would be devastated. And I just don't think that you should really. Maybe you should just go to school and make money off like a normal person and make your own career. I don't know. And she's probably not even going to write the book. She's probably going to have a ghostwriter do it. But that's just annoying to me. People making money off of other people and people not really working for their money is probably one of my biggest pet peeves in life. Side note. Singer Ciara, she's a really good hip-hop artist. I love her. Her boyfriend, music producer Future, they've been together for about a year. They got engaged this weekend while they were in New York. Future proposed to her when he was on tour with Drake, and they've only been together for a year. So I hope it lasts more than a year. I've noticed that celebrities are not even celebrities. Well, yeah, mostly celebrities. They tend to get married super, super quickly, and I don't know if it's because they have all kinds of money, and, you know, some people don't get married because money is a problem, that they can't even afford the wedding. You know, they can't afford a house. Why would they get married? So when you have all these things, maybe, you know, if you think you found this right person in a year, marry him. I've been with my boyfriend for about 2.5-3 years, and that's not happening anytime soon. I'll tell you what. Not at all. But on to some more sad news, I guess. Singer and wannabe actor Chris Brown, you all know him from beating up Rihanna in 2009, right before the Grammys. He just can't keep it together. He's been on probation since 2009 for the beating. He was arrested Sunday morning about 4, well, the altercation happened at 4:25, so it was probably, you know, whenever the cops got there. But he was arrested Sunday morning after he and his bouncer allegedly attacked a guy who jumped into a picture Brown was taking with some fans. Chris Brown was posing with some girls, taking a picture, and the guy kind of photobombed the photo and jumped in it, and Chris Brown basically attacked the guy. Full on attacked this 20-year-old kid. Let's see, what's his name? I think his name was Isaac something or other. He's 20, that's all I know. He's 20 years old. Attacked this guy, and the man he attacked received treatment for his injuries at a local hospital. Brown appeared in court this morning along with his bodyguard, both facing felony charges. This is what I don't get. He faced felony charges in 2009 for slamming his girlfriend's head against the dashboard, and he's facing felony charges again in 2013, and he won't go to jail. Since 2009, he's had so many problems. He's been involved. He was involved with fighting Drake, the rapper, and his entourage. They got in a huge fight in the nightclub. No charges were pressed, but that was in the news. Chris Brown got into a fight with a singer named Frank Ocean when Frank Ocean apparently parked in Chris Brown's spot, and they got into it. And this guy obviously has anger issues. And I was reading on Radar Online, which is one of my favorite celebrity sites, just FYI. Chris Brown is basically, it is really come out that he likes to use the F word that rhymes with maggot to describe anybody. And he uses it very frequently. And he apparently has called, let's see, I found this one example. Lucas Peter. He was an openly gay man, and he told Radar Online that he spotted Brown and his entourage and asked him for an autograph after they were leaving a movie. This guy, Lucas, said, "The movie let out, and I saw Chris come out of the front door, sort of semi-running," probably because he doesn't want to be talked to, but he was sort of semi-running, and Lucas Peter, there's so many names in this. He asked Chris for his autograph, and his bodyguard stopped him and said he won't be signing any autographs. And so Lucas responded by saying, "Rihanna signs them all the time." I could just imagine a gay guy saying that. That'd be awesome. I would love that. So being like, "You need to do this." and Chris basically out called him the F word right in front of him. Brown also apparently called Frank Ocean the F word. And he also called an NSYNC star, that's it. That's all that's been reported, that how many times he said that. But that's one too many times for my liking at all. I think people that use that word openly and freely use it at all. It doesn't matter where you are just idiots. Lance Bass from NSYNC, he basically came out saying, you know, the F word is like the N word. And most black people do not like that word, and you shouldn't like that word. It's a horrible word. It has horrible connotations, horrible history. So, you know, you would think that someone who has a name associated with, has a name associated with their, what's that word? With their skin color, we'll put it that way, wouldn't be using a word that's associated with something they can't, with someone else can't control. You know, Chris Brown can't control the fact that he's black. This guy, people can't control the fact that they're gay. You know, they try, but they can't. And so I just think that Chris Brown is a complete, total J. He's a jerk. So that's Chris Brown, but he's facing more charges yet again. What a surprise. But he has so much money, he's never going to go to jail. He doesn't have to go to jail. He's just going to give his... He's going to put in some money, and that'll be it. But we're going to move on to some little sadder news. This past weekend, we saw some celebrities leave us. So go to heaven, assumingly. Marsha Wallace, who you probably don't know who she is, but she died this past weekend. She played the voice of Bart's teacher, Mrs. Carbopolis. You know, the teacher that goes, "Ha!" And the short brown hair, that's her. She was it was a long-running show, The Simpsons. I'm sorry, I should actually clarify that. Executive producer released a statement this past weekend saying that she was beloved by all the Simpsons, and we will intend to retire her irreplaceable character. So probably, you know, by the end of this year, maybe season, Mrs. Carbopolis isn't going to be there anymore. What I was thinking is that, does that mean that Bart's going to have to go into the sixth grade? Like, really? Does that mean that he's going to have to do that? They're going to have to grow and go into puberty, because they've been the same age for forever. So maybe that'll give a little, I don't think, of course I'll never do that. That's silly. That's not what the Simpsons are about. But that was just a little thought I had. And also, another sad death, Lou Reed died yesterday morning in New York. If you don't know who he is, because I, to honest to God, didn't know who he was, he started his long career as the front man of the 60s band Velvet Underground. And to be honest, I swear to God, I thought Velvet Underground was a new band. This is how bad I am with rock music. But he started the band. He wrote most of the lyrics. He played keyboard. He did all that. So he spent the 80s and the 90s, after he left the band in the 70s, he spent the 80s and 90s making music that spoke to generations. People loved his music. He was very public about his drinking and drug use, because any artist from the 60s, 70s, or 80s, no doubt, did a lot of drugs. And he even wrote a song called Heroin about heroin. And the song is, it's sad. It's very, it sounds like he's on heroin. It's not the best. I shouldn't say that. It's a good song for what it is, but I'm not a big fan of anything about heroin. I just don't really like to hear about it. But most musicians scare away from talking about that. So I thought it was really cool that he wrote this. The song was 7 minutes. I thought that was really cool. He wrote a lot of other songs. He did a lot of albums, his own solo albums. And in the last couple of years, he had liver failure. And this last year, he had to get a liver transplant, and it didn't end very well. And he died from complications of that. And he was 71. So with that, I am actually going to play a Lou Reed song. This is probably one of the most famous songs that he, that he ever wrote. It's called Walk on the Wild Side. And I'm going to take a break right now. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Afternoons with Harley D. And I am Holly D. I'll see you back here on the flip side. Okay, buddy.
Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. It away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, should have seen them go, go, go. They said, hey, sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fast. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
And we're back. You're listening to Afternoons with Harley D. I'm your host, Harley D. What's happening? So I wanted to get into some quick news, some little tidbits from around the nation and around, you know, the Bay. I wanted to start with the, you know, healthcare, because, you know, that's always a fun topic. The healthcare, or Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius. She's the leader of the Health and Human Services Department in D.C. She's scheduled to appear in front of a House committee on Wednesday. It is expected she will face a backlash of heavy questioning from the Republican Party as to why the healthcare.gov website has had so many problems. Maybe it's because the new website was rolled out untested, completely blind. And when a million plus people log on to one website at a time, it crashes. I don't know. Facebook knows this. How does the government not know this? Facebook has huge amounts of, what are they called? Server rooms. Huge amounts. They can handle it. Why can't the U.S. government? Because the government wasn't prepared. There's no other reason. Like, the government wasn't prepared for the amount of processing this website would have had to do. So, I mean, how could they not know the website wasn't going to crash? I figured the website was going to crash when they said everyone on October 1st can come in and do this. Like, everybody was going to do it. Of course everybody was going to do it. And then the website's going to crash. Duh. But the Republican party basically want her head. They basically want her job. They want to fire her. And basically, because of just the website hasn't been working. You go there, you can't get anything. There's failure messages. There's this, that, and the other. And to add to the list, last night, visitors to the website couldn't access it due to the fact that Verizon, who's the networking partner, their network died. So why isn't Verizon being held accountable for this? Let's just talk about that. But anyways, we're going to go on to more more political news. The cavalry from the European Union is in D.C. today, and they are pissed. They want answers to why the U.S. has spied on many of its allies. The Guardian newspaper says that the National Security Agency monitored calls of 35 world leaders, including France and Germany, two of the U.S.'s strongest allies. The allegations come from documents leaked by Edward Snowden. And, of course, the NSA is denying that President Obama knew anything about it. But the NSA doesn't spy on anybody, and I thought, unless the president wants it. So I think that might just be PR, but I don't know. The house in Los Altos, where Steve Jobs grew up, could be given a new status tonight. The home could be part of the city's historic resource inventory. The house is where Steve Jobs launched the first Apple computer and assembled the first 50 in his garage. So it's a pretty big deal. We have those houses in Marin, too. You know, historical houses that something happened, or we have them on campus and they're preserved and you can't really change them unless you get prior acknowledgement, I guess would be the word. And yesterday in the city, San Francisco police shot a man in the Marina District, which is highly alarming because the Marina District is filled with, you know, Land Rovers and Lululemon and Apple and everything that's associated with being white elitist. So they arrested a guy for shooting a man because he allegedly beat the guy and pistol whipped him and then shot another person. The altercation happened on Chestnut and Pierce in the heart of the Marina, and it's still under investigation. And of course, all the little Marina families were very shaken up by it. The suspect is in the hospital right now and he's recovering from being shot. But of course, afterwards, he's probably, you know, handcuffed to his hospital bed. But, you know, he'll be arrested afterwards. So that's what's going on in the Bay, or, well, you know, a little bit of news. But what I wanted to get into today was last week, I think it was, in Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa deputies shot and killed a 13-year-old boy who basically was wielding a gun, what looked like to be an AK-47 at them. And it turns out the gun was a fake gun. And I knew this, that you couldn't have a fake gun without the orange tip, but I don't know. I guess some people don't know this. The gun didn't have any sort of orange tip on it, and that is basically like the first instinct that that's a fake gun and you can't be hurt. And the reason that the cops fired at the kid was because he wasn't facing the deputies, and the deputies were driving down the road and they saw him with holding a gun that very much resembled an AK-47. In a press conference the next day after it happened, they held up both the fake gun and a real one, and they looked exactly the same. I, from 20 to 30 feet away, which was how far the deputies were from the kid, his name's Andy Lopez. They thought they were in danger, and police are always obviously skittish. They basically have the whole world against them, and if somebody has a gun and it looks like a real one and they aim it at the cop, of course the cop's gonna shoot. That's what they're trying to do. And you are, as a citizen, you are supposed to, when a cop tells you to do something, you are supposed to do it. And if you don't, and if you don't respond willingly and very swiftly, they take action. They'll tase you, they'll throw you to the ground, or they'll shoot you. And sadly, that happened to this kid. And I mean, it's a horrible situation. The kid didn't have to die. But what I'm wondering is why, you know, why the deputies had to act so fastly, which I understand. Actually, you know what? I don't. I understand that. I understand that they thought they were in immediate danger and they thought that they had to do that. But what I'm wondering is why nobody is acknowledging the fact that these officers were doing their job. You know, like it's awful that this kid is dead and this family is without their son. And I completely sympathize with that. But even when I was younger, I knew you should never aim a gun at somebody, whether it was fake or not. You just shouldn't do that. And when an officer tells you to do something, you should do it. And a lot of reports came out saying that maybe the kid Andy loved listening to music. Maybe he had earbuds in, and he had a hood on. Calling back to the Trayvon Martin case, another gun case that really was a huge firestorm. Andy had a hood on. And he wasn't facing the deputies. And when he turned with the gun facing the deputies. And immediately the deputy shot. So maybe the kid, I was thinking maybe the kid had his music in and he didn't hear them. Or maybe he didn't speak English. But all of the people that were on the news, his family members, his friends, they all spoke very well English. So I don't think that's a case. And I really don't think it's a case that if he had his earbuds in, why was he walking around just brandishing a fake gun? You should know. You should just know how scared people are of guns. Guns scare the crap out of people, and you shouldn't just be firing it, like, not firing, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Just waving it around. It's not good. And this is going to become a really hot topic because, you know, the Trayvon Martin thing, like I just mentioned, the guy who shot him, George Zimmerman, got acquitted of all charges. Whether he shot the kid or not, in self-defense, remains to be seen, because since he was acquitted, he can't be tried again. And what really got me into this was because, you know, there was a jury in the Trayvon Martin case. There'll probably be a jury if this goes to trial, because people are probably going to there's probably going to be backlash, and they're probably going to have to, the FBI is already investigating this. There's going to be a huge thing. But when they went to trial for the Trayvon Martin case, the prosecution didn't do their job. They didn't give the jury undoubtable, that's not the word, without any sort of doubt. They didn't prove their case good enough to the jury. So the jury acquitted George Zimmerman. Whether it was right or wrong, the prosecution didn't do their job. That's their job. They're supposed to argue their case, and there's lawyers. Lawyers argue. That's what they do. So so that's the Trayvon Martin case. But with the Andy Lopez thing, you know, I feel really bad for everyone involved. I especially feel bad for the deputies. One of the deputies that shot him was 24 years old. I'm 26. Like, that guy is younger than me, and he's probably going to be released from the force because of the fact that there's so much backlash going back. You know, the whole community of Santa Rosa is pissed about this. They think that the cops acted they made a rash decision and didn't really think about what they were doing. But, you know, cops can't really just sit there and think about what's going on. They have to act on instinct. And if their instinct says that they're in trouble, whether or not they are, they act on it. And I just think that maybe this kid just wasn't, like, just didn't want to listen. Maybe he just thought he was just cool, and he was just Joe Cool walking around, and he didn't think, you know, a lot of, you know, how teenagers are. They just think they're invincible and nothing's going to stop them. But when an officer tells you to do something, you should do it. And it's really sad that he's not with us anymore, and that his whole class was mourning the death of this kid. And, you know, I never had a classmate die when I was younger, but I can just imagine. So, I think that the officers did what they should have done. I think they did their job. They were just patrolling the area in a marked police car. Someone aimed a gun at them, what looked like a gun at them, and they shot him. And I think they did their job. And I don't think that they should be persecuted like they are. There's so much media coming out about how people on Facebook are the officers' names haven't been released, but, you know, someone found out somehow, and their Facebook pages are just being smashed. People want to kill them, basically. They want to have the deputies' heads for this little kid's head. I don't think it's right. I think that when you aim a gun at somebody, you can't really think that it's a joke. It's not a joke. It's never a joke. A gun is not a good thing. And, you know, coincidentally, today, now that I talk about this, I just thought about the fact that today is 1 year ago from the Sandy Hook massacre that happened in Massachusetts, where a kid took a gun from his mom's house, killed his mom, then went to an elementary school and killed a lot of kids and a couple teachers, but young kids, elementary school kids. Like, he had nothing to do with them. He went there and just murdered them, shot them down. And it's a year later, and Sandy Hook, the whole school is being demolished, of course, because they can't have this remembering. They can't have it in They can't have a school where someone was killed and have more students go there. So I just think the gun thing is just getting out of control. I get that people love guns. I don't have a gun. I've shot one once. But the reason the cops have guns is to protect themselves from the crazy people who think that they can just brandish a gun out of nowhere and just not have any repercussions. And I I just think that guns shouldn't be here. I think that they're, I understand why they're here for hunting purposes, but what the heck does it do having a gun in your safe or having 12 guns in your safe? What does that do? Does it show how big your manhood is? Like, I just think that it's just, I think it's a little bit, I understand that you want your gun, but there's too many crazy people in the world. It's just like one of those things, like in school, when your teachers took away something because one, you know, you were doing what you had to do with whatever it was, but someone else broke the rules. So since that one person broke the rules, everybody doesn't get to enjoy whatever it is. And I think that should be said. There's something to be said for that. So I don't know. It's really sad, but I really think that the police officers did their job. And I might be, luckily you don't know my real name, so you won't be calling me on Facebook or anything, because I guarantee that my opinion is not the most liked opinion. You know, a kid is dead in this situation and it's awful and a family's mourning it, but officers did their job. I don't really see what else you can do about it. An officer is supposed to protect their community, and they thought that's what they were doing. So, and on to another teenage case, which I found really sad. Well, interesting. I'm really interested by sad things. I guess that's awful, but I am. So this girl, I lost the page that I was looking at. So a couple weeks ago, this girl from Florida, I think she was in middle school. She hurled herself off of a building, and she killed herself, basically. She killed herself due to the fact that she was being bullied. She said, it was reported that this girl, I'm trying to find right now, of course my computer's not working, la 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 la. These two girls tormented one of the other girl for months and months online. And the girl who was being bullied ended up killing herself. And so now, the girls who did the bullying were arrested. They were booked in jail. They're teenagers. Their mugshots are like, that is just sad. Like, I couldn't even believe being 12, 13 years old and having a mugshot taken of me. That is just like, I don't even know what to do about it. But so the girls are in, they're arrested in jail right now. And of course, lo and behold, they got kicked out of school. Because you can't be, even though they're in the public school system, you can't be bullying people and get away with it and have somebody kill themselves because you're so mean to them. And get away with it. Of course, the public school system is they're going to kick you out. And so she's kicked out of school. And until she's acquitted from the charges, she will never be able to go back to school. And she's having a problem because apparently her family is not well off. They have no money. And so she can't continue her education. She's sitting in jail and cannot. And of course, since she was accused of bullying someone online, she can't. Part of her conditions of she can't be on a computer. And I just think this is just awful. Like I know I grew up when the internet first started. I remember, you know, going online for the first time. It was really exciting. I remember my first email address on AOL and instant messaging. That was like the coolest thing ever. But I never had to deal with this. I went to a really, really small school. This never was a problem with me. I never faced girls, you know, emailing me and telling me that I should kill myself because I'm so ugly and this, that, and the other. And this is becoming a bigger and bigger deal because Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, there's something called Snapchat now. There's all these kinds of social media. They're able to just tease and bully the crap out of kids that, you know, may not have the best self-esteem and don't want to stand up for themselves. And this girl, the bully, or the two bullies, I mean, I want to say that I feel bad for her, but I really don't. I don't like it when people maliciously make fun of people. I experienced bullying in middle school like anybody else did. You know, boys made fun of me and girls made fun. You know, it happens. It's part of growing up, and I get that. But maliciously for months and months and months telling someone to go kill themselves, like, I never experienced that. You know, boys would say, you know, boys are mean in middle school, and if they liked you, they were even meaner. So that was that was always something for me hard to deal with. But I could never deal with someone going telling, like, my emotional state when I was a teenager was so fragile. I don't think I could have handled that. And I think that this bully probably, you know, it's coming out that her family isn't well off. They're very poor. They can't afford her education. And to me, it seems like a total cry of an insecure teenage girl. You know, when teenagers are, not even teenagers, when people in general are insecure, they make fun of other people to knock other people down to make themselves feel better. It's classic psychology. Everybody knows this. You learn it. Classic stuff. And especially teenage girls, they're probably the most psychologically interesting group of people. They go up and down, up and down. They're on their period, they're not on their period. They like this boy, they hate this boy. They like that girl, they hate that girl. Da-ba-ba. But I think that it's to me, it seems like a cry that this girl, the bully, was fully and totally just did not have any self-esteem. She was totally self-conscious, and she just tried to make other people feel bad by hurting them and to build herself up. So I think that this girl should get, obviously she'll probably learn from her mistakes, but I think that she should be put in juvenile detention until she's 18. First of all, because she can't go back into the public school system. No one's going to let her in unless she's acquitted of these charges. And I highly doubt she's going to be acquitted of these charges, basically because it's all online. There's like paperwork after paperwork after paperwork of this. So she's probably not going to be acquitted of these charges. And I should probably mention the charges are aggravated stalking. And I think it has something to do with bullying online or some sort of law that Florida has. But I think this girl should really learn from this. And she probably will. I hope that the judge throws a book at her and really makes her suffer for what she did, because she made this girl suffer for so long. And now, because this girl committed suicide, everybody else is suffering. Her whole family's suffering. All her friends are suffering. All because you wanted to build this girl's self-esteem. You wanted to build yourself up. So you wanted to hurt this girl who, I don't know her. I don't know any of these girls. It doesn't matter. But you shouldn't tell somebody to go kill themselves every day of their life. It's not nice. Just being nice to people just really goes a long way. And I think kids should be taught that. Just being nice and just be considerate of other people and put yourself in another person's position. And obviously the bully didn't do that. You know, she did the exact opposite and had no regard for anybody else but herself. And now she's facing the charges. So I hope she really does get some, I hope something really does happen with her, because people need to, teens need to learn from this. This isn't a good situation. But you know, those are my little hot topics. I am going to take another break. Let's see, what should we listen to? I don't know. I like Mumford and Sons. Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Afternoons with Harley D. I am Harley D. And this is Mumford and Sons. It's called The Cave. I hope you enjoy it.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk. away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again. Time. You take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see where those orphans through my tears. And know my call despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But I will hold on hope, and your cave walking on your hands and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker's land. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now, and you know how to live my life as it's meant to be.
And we're back. Hello. It's Harley D. It's me. Hello. Hello. I wanted to get into a little bit of sports. All things fun. Fun, fun, fun. We're going to start with the World Series, which I don't find very fun. I don't really like baseball. But it's kind of a big deal. So it's happening right now. They're going into game 5 tonight. It's the Boston Red Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals. And they played 2 games this weekend. They played game 3 on Saturday. And it ended after a back and forth between each teams and a walk-off interference play, giving the Cardinals their first win in the series, tying the series up 1-1. And the interference call I just mentioned was called obstructing the play. So like I said earlier, it's not that I don't like baseball. I just can't sit for 6 hours in a chair and enjoy something. I don't know. Call me crazy. But the obstruction call, I was looking up. So basically what happened was the guy who was hitting, who was it? Blah, 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 blah. John Jay, he was hitting on the plate and he hit it out of the, not out of the park, but he hit it, and he got 2 players on home runs and he was running around third, and an outfielder threw the ball and it went past the Boston Red Sox catcher Will Middlebrooks, and he tried to make a diving attempt to stop the ball. And so what happened was the runner basically So while Will Middlebrooks, I can't talk, was diving for the ball, he obstructed the view or obstructed the player's view of the home plate. And basically, since he did that, even though the player who was running didn't actually touch base and he was tagged out before he touched base, the umpire called it safe and they won the game. So I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard of the obstruction thing. I've heard about it a little bit, but I didn't really get it. It's an act of a fielder who, while not in possession of the ball and not in the act of fielding the ball, impedes the progress of the runner. So I don't really get what that means. I don't know. But anyways, so they're playing, like I said, they're playing again. Yesterday they played also in game four, and the Boston Red Sox rallied to beat the St. Louis Cardinals 4-2. And they play again tonight. So let's see what happens. I think they're back in St. Louis. So I don't know. I guess I'll go for the Sox because I feel like they're just like they were kind of a forgotten team. They used to be good. Let's hope those beards that they're growing helps. In football, let's start across the pond. And I'm not talking about soccer. No. I'm talking about the football. The San Francisco 49ers played the Jacksonville Jaguars in London yesterday. And, of course, they added another win to their semi-good record. The Niners quarterback Colin Kaepernick rushed for 2 touchdowns and threw for a third. Frank Gore scored 2 touchdowns of his own. And, basically, the Jaguars should have stayed home. They didn't come to play. Within the first 10 minutes of the game, it was not first 10 minutes. We'll say first half. The game was already decided. I think 22 points were scored in the first half, Jacksonville only scored 10 the whole game. I mean, that's just sad pants. That's a little sad. The Niners had 221 yards and carried the ball an average of 5.8 yards and rushed for 4 scores, and the final score was 42-10. Holy crap. London did the Niners good. And last time the Niners played there, they played the Broncos when Tim Tebow was the quarterback. Tim Tebow does not have a team anymore, I don't think. As far as I know, he was released from, I think the Eagles? He's just not doing good. After Florida, that nothing's good happened with him. And by Florida, I mean his university, not Miami or anything. Anyways, the 49ers beat the Broncos last time they played there in 2010. So London's good for the Niners. And I wanted to go over to the other bay, Oakland. They played the Raiders played the Steelers yesterday. And this is a huge game for both teams. The Raiders won. They didn't kill them. They almost lost. They almost didn't. They almost pulled a Raider and lost it really fast. But they won. It was 21-18. And within the first 19 seconds of the game, Terrell Pryor, quarterback of the Raiders, broke records, huge records. He, within the first 19 seconds of the game, half the time I'm not even there the first 10 minutes of the game. Like, I would have probably just been getting into the stadium. And he ran the longest run in Raiders history for a quarterback. And the longest, or I'm sorry, just the he straight up longest run in history. And it was the longest run by a quarterback in the league's history. So he killed it. 93 yards. That's freaking, or I'm sorry. Yeah, it was 93 yards. That's freaking awesome. I'm proud of him. I think that they're going to, maybe within the next year or two, they're going to start becoming something. And then what else happened during the game? In the final, 59th minute of the game, the Raiders went into the half. Oh, well. I wrote that wrong. I'm sorry. Let's just keep going. The Raiders went into the half with a 21-3 halftime lead. That's what I'm telling you. The first half was pretty good and ended up needing to recover on an onside kick as well as stop the Steelers one final time after Oakland's offense went stagnant in the second half. Basically, the Raiders' only reason they won is because their offense. I mean, their defense sucked. They were beating the Steelers by almost, what is it, 19 points, and then all of a sudden they got 18 minus 3 is 15. So they scored 15 points in a quarter. Obviously, their defense went bye-bye. But, so yeah, I'm happy for the Raiders. Good for them. I hope they keep it up. I found this article about them. Let's see. Oh, there's not too much good information. I already kind of did it all. But, Darren McFadden I already said that. Okay, anyways, we're going to keep going. We're going to go on to Dominican sports, because I realized that I should be talking about Dominican sports, but, you know, I don't have the paper with me anymore. Well, I'll just tell you about what I saw, because I don't remember everything. But I went to a volleyball game on, what was that, Friday night. The Dominican volleyball team played... Who'd they play? Mills College? And let me just tell you, Mills College did not, again, show up. Speaking of the Jaguars, they sucked. The game was over within, like, literally 50 minutes. And for a volleyball game, that's pretty short. And Dominican girls killed it. I think a couple girls got 10 kills in the whole game. That's a huge, huge stat. So I'm proud of the Dominican volleyball Penguins. Yeah, buddy. And then I don't really remember what else that paper said. So I think it was something about the soccer team. The girls' soccer team did really well this season, or this past weekend. And the boys did really well. So let's, you know, the basketball team, they just had the, last week they did the opening ceremonies for the boys and girls basketball team. So that's going to be coming up pretty soon, and I'm going to try to report to you on that. But that's, I don't know, I'm excited to be here at Dominican and have sports, because I've never been in a college that actually had sports. I'm hoping to be on the golf team next year, because like I mentioned before, I love golf. I love playing it, and I don't have time to play it. But I really hope next semester I'll be on the golf team and, you know, representing the Penguins. What's up? But on that note, I think I'm going to end the show. I enjoyed this show so much. I'm trying to get better at my radios, talking and all that stuff. So I hope it's working. I hope you enjoyed my show, and come back next week. Next Monday at 3:00, you're listening to Afternoons with Harley D. I'm Harley D. And this is radio.dominican.edu. And tune in for everybody else on the radio. We got a bunch of shows tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Got some good stuff coming up. And then I think that was last week. Soul Candy was last week. So I didn't get to go to that. I wish I got to go. But whatever. I can't. I don't have a life. All right. But anyways, you guys have a good week. I hope to see you back here next Monday. Happy Halloween. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And have a good week.